And I honestly, I didn't think it was that great, but I've had several people ask me to get a copy of it for them. And the Lord knows all about it, but it's how do we respond in these last days. And how do we respond in these last days? You say, well, I've heard it was the last days all my life. Well, Peter wrote of that and himself, and he said that there would be scoffers in the last days. And even in Peter's day, there were those that would say, well, where's his coming? When's he coming back? And man, that was 2,000 something years ago. If you want to get more technical, you can say about 1,920 something years ago. And it was so you see that even in those days, but we know that we see prophecy fulfilling. We see morality is on a decline in our nation and around the world. We see that Russia there is doing its best to open its way up there from the north down through there so that China and the Russia can come down through and be set up across from the nation of Israel there for the last battle there after the tribulation period. I'm there at the Battle of Armageddon when the Bible says there, and Ezekiel 38 says that he would put hooks in the jaw and he'd draw Russia there down, and we see that there's prophecy fulfilling before our eyes. And man, but as we see in our message this morning, and there was a coming destruction to the land of Jericho, but there was a deliverance that was possible. And we'll see this morning the Lord being our helper, and you pray for us this morning. But I really believe, you know, my burden and the Lord has placed upon our heart in the last several weeks and about the heaviness of my heart of lost people. And man, you say, well, who's here today? I don't know. But I know this, that today may be the day that they come to know the Lord and Savior as Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And if you're not here this morning and you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven, today would be the day that I'd make it right. Now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And man, we know, as I said, that we know that if you say, well, I preacher, I'll make it through the tribulation. No, you won't. If you've ever heard the gospel, according to the book of Paul and the book of 1 Thessalonians, you'll be sent a strong delusion that you'll believe a lie. And that's what the Bible says. And so we know that you'll believe that strong delusion. And you say, how did we know that? Well, just let's look at the last days, the last 2 years, and what all that everybody's believing. You don't know what to believe today. There's so much lies and so much fake news coming across the media today. And man, you don't know what to believe. One day they say this, and one day they say that, and one day they say you need this, and one day they say you need that. And now we see that truth is coming to light. And man, there's a lot of it. There's some little bit of truth and a whole lot of falseness. Not making light of the virus. I had it. Like to have died. Don't want it again. Thank God overcome it. Amen. But I'm just telling you, when you see all that's going on in these last days and the last days we've been living, man, if you're not a Bible student, I've become a Bible student, because that's the only truth that you have in these days. And Brother Green prayed and he said the truth is falling in the streets. And that is very true today. Truth is falling in the streets. But let's look here this morning in the book of Joshua, chapter number 2. And we're talking about the city of Jericho. We've been preaching on Joshua, and the Lord's redirected us here. We've been preaching on how to have a successful Christian life. That's what we started out, and here lately the Lord has redirected our thoughts to some different areas. But this morning, let's begin reading in Joshua chapter number 2, and let's begin seeing what the Lord has for us today. And the Bible says this, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out Chittim, 2 men, to spy secretly, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to see, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the women took the 2 men and hid them and said, thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, and the men went out, whether the men went, I will not pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of to Jordan and to the ford. And as soon as they were pursued after them, were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came upon them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites there on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven and above and earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours? If you utter not this our business, it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she said, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all the father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in his house, his blood shall be upon our head, and if any hand be upon him. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege, God, that you give us to share the Word of God this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the precious blood of Jesus, God, that cleanses us, Lord, from all of our sins. Father, Lord, it's the blood, God, that'll get us, Lord, to heaven. God, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, Lord, but according to your mercy, God, that you saved us. And Father, I pray this morning, God, that you would help us, Lord, to see the importance, God, in these days. Lord, there is a coming destruction, Lord, of this earth, God, just as there was to the city of Jericho. And Lord, I pray that, God, that you would give us a burden, God, such as Rahab had for her family, that, God, that they all might be saved. Lord, God, you'd help us, Lord, to be up and about our Father's business. Lord, I pray, Father, today that you would ever magnify yourself in this service. Lord, God, I pray, God, that you'd have your way and your will. Lord, we need you, Father, today. Lord, we've come to meet with you. Lord, we've come for you to work in our hearts and in our lives. Challenge us, Lord, this morning through the Word of God. May the Holy Ghost have His right of way and the Word of God have free course. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. We know the city of Jericho, the Bible says there, it was a great city. It was the first city that the children of Israel had came up to after they had crossed there the Jordan River. And Joshua knew that that was the city that they was coming to. And as they came up upon the city there that day before they had crossed the Jordan River, Joshua had sent two spies in to spy out the land and to spy that city. Now this was not something that was uncommon there by leaders of that day and spies of that day to go in and captains of that day of armies to go in and spy out and to see what they were up against. And as the spies went, they came across this young lady by the name of Rahab, and the Bible calls her a harlot. And so understand that's probably why they chose to go to her house that day, because understand that that woman there, she was sold herself there for the pleasure of others. And it was there, they didn't go to find pleasure, but if they went there to that house, they would not seem to be an oddball. Does that make sense? But as they went and they looked and they spied out that city, and they came back and they entered into that city, you find that historians and archaeologists for years said that Jericho did not exist. But in the late 1900s, you'll find there that they did uncover the city of Jericho, and it's just exactly the way the Bible tells them. And you'll find there, as you do your study, that Jericho there had two walls. And the outside wall was about 12 foot high. It had about a 6 foot base. After that wall there, there was an embankment, and then there was another wall. And you'll find that as you study the scriptures and you study history out, you'll find that it's just exactly like the Bible saying. But as they went there that day and they came across and they were spying out that city, that somehow or another that young lady by the name of Rahab recognized that these people were Jews. They recognized that they were people of God. As I was reading and studying this, I thought, man, oh, how that we need people to recognize us today. Beloved, in this world as Christians, beloved, not in name only, but also in convictions and by lifestyle, beloved, they ought to be something different about us. There ought to be something different about us in our values. There ought to be something different about us in our attitudes. And beloved, the world may all be able to look at us and say, hey, there's something different about you. They said not only, she said there was something different about them, she said there's something different about your God. Notice this here, what she says. Look there in chapter 2, verse number 10. She said, you have heard, well, we have heard the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. She had heard that there was a destruction that was coming. She said, we heard of what the Lord is doing. We've heard that He had a great people. We heard that there was a coming destruction of our land. And man, may I say unto you today, and just as Joshua there and those young men told her of what was fixing to come, may I stand before you this morning and declare unto you that there is a coming day of destruction on this earth. I'm a beloved, thanks be to God. I've not been appointed under wrath. I'm thanks be to God there's coming a day before that wrath comes. I'm beloved, I'm getting out of here. One of these days the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, my dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Beloved, as I said this morning, the world can have it, the Democrats, the Republicans, the Independents, it don't matter who it is, beloved, they can all have it, because, beloved, I'm not staying here, this world's not my home. Beloved, there is a coming destruction of this world. It's coming. It's coming. She said, we've heard it. We heard how God was with you. We heard how the Lord had been working. And I just want you to know that we were scared. The Bible says this, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Remember, God had prophesied this in Deuteronomy chapter number 20. The Bible said this, but of the cities of these people which the Lord thy God doth give thee for inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. May I say unto you today, you said, well, preacher, I've heard of the coming of the Lord. I've heard of the coming of the end times, but I just don't know if it's really true. Well, I'm going to encourage you this morning, you need to believe it just like this woman here believed it. Amen. She believed it. She said, we've heard. We've heard what was going to take place. We heard that the Lord was with you. We, and our hearts did melt. May I say unto you today, just because people don't listen and just because other people don't accept it, don't make it not true. It don't make it not true. And I, not only there was a destruction coming, but I thought about this as you see the despair of these people. Notice what the Bible said this in verse number 11. She said, as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. There was a citywide fear, but not a citywide faith. I mean, the whole city had fear. She said, we've heard it and we feared. And man, you can't look back over the last 2 years and man, all that's going on in our country with this virus and everything else that's took place in the last 2 years. And man, there's an unsettled peace in our cities. There's an unsettled peace in our country. There's an unsettled peace around the world. And beloved, you can understand today there's a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety in people's lives, just as there was there at the city of Jericho that day. She said, our hearts did melt. We really didn't know what to do. She said our leaders had heard it. They didn't know how to respond. She said our fathers had heard it. They didn't know how to respond. She said all we knew was that we had fear and anxiety because we knew that there was something coming upon us that we couldn't handle. Amen. And may I say unto you this morning, we are living in this situation that these people were. There is coming a destruction, and there's such a despair among the people today that we live with. I mean, have you ever seen such a hopeless, scared society? I mean, everybody's running scared. What's going to happen? I mean, even people that don't attend the house of God, and even, I mean, man, I see people out in town, and I see people out and about, and I have people call, and they say, preacher, what do you think's going on? I said, well, I just think this. I said, I think the Bible's fulfilling itself. They say, well, what are you going to do? I said, I ain't going to do nothing but just keep trusting in the Lord. That's all I know to do. Well, what do you think about how are we going to make it? I said, I don't know. I said, we're going to make it with the Lord. Well, what if gas goes to $6 a gallon? Well, I guess I'll be walking. Well, what if food goes up? I guess I'll be killing some chickens. I don't know. I mean, man, there's so many what ifs. But we do know that as according to the Word of God, as Bible-believing Christians, we do know that the Bible tells us that there's 7 years of roughness that's coming. It's called the Great Tribulation. We know that. Matthew 24, Daniel, the book of Daniel, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Revelation. And even a lot of non-Christians know that there's a end of time coming. Now get this. Here's the sad part. The Bible says this, that he that believeth not is condemned already. According to John chapter 3, verse number 18. See, we all quote that verse. I mean, they put it up at the ball games and everywhere else. And I praise the Lord that they do that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But see, they don't go in there, John 3:17 and 3:18, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But he that believeth not on Him is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, everybody was condemned. But there was one that wanted out. And as you go on and you study this, we see that there was destruction coming, but there was a despair of the people. But notice this woman here. She said, now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord that I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. And that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. There was a deliverance that was desired. First of all, there was a personal deliverance. And if you're here this morning, and beloved, the best thing you can do is get saved. The best thing, and it doesn't matter if you're 8 years old or 80 years old or 90 years old or anywhere in between. Beloved, if you're listening by Facebook or if you end up listening on the radio, beloved, the greatest desire that you can have, the greatest thing you can do is get saved. Get saved. This woman said, I pray you, save us alive. Save us. May I say unto you today, if you're not saved, the greatest thing that you can do is get saved. greatest day in my life as an 18-year-old boy was when I asked Jesus Christ to save me. I had heard about it all my life. I had heard about the second coming. I had heard about messages about hell. I'll never forget Dave Fortner. I'm really one of the first times that I fell under conviction. Dave Fortner was preaching at Shoal Creek, and he preached a message on hell. And that was the first time as a 12-year-old boy that I'd really fell under conviction. A few nights later, I went to the altar and made a false profession of faith because other people went. And for the next 6 years, I lived a lie claiming that I was saved, but realizing I was lost and on my way to hell. But I'm telling you, the greatest day of my life was the day that I got saved as an 18-year-old boy. But notice here, there was a deliverance desired. It was a personal deliverance. She didn't want to go down in destruction. And there's nobody in their right mind that wants to go through and live in destruction and be destroyed. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it. I mean, man, there's nobody. Now, there are those today that say, well, I don't believe in God, and I understand that's fine and well, and that's all. I mean, that's their business. But the fact of the matter is, whether they believe or whether they don't believe, does not change the fact that this Bible's true. And does not change the fact that there's a day of destruction coming, but there's a deliverance that's being offered. And these men, she desired to deliver. She said, I pray you swear unto me by the Lord. She said, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to face the judgment of God upon our city. I don't want to face that judgment. But not only that, and man, this is where we ought to be today. It was not just there was a deliverance desired for her personal, but there was a deliverance desired for her family. And I'm afraid today this is where we have lost sight of what real Christians and where we really ought to be. Because, beloved, today we have lost family members. We have lost co-workers. And believe it or not, you have some belief system that this Bible is true. If not, you would not be here this morning. You have some belief system that Jesus Christ is the answer. You have some belief system about that, whether you're saved or whether you're lost. But the fact of the matter is, we've lost the burden of lost men, women, boys, and girls. When's the last time that you prayed and said, Lord, I want you to save my family. Lord, my brothers, my sisters, my fathers, my mother. And she said, Lord, I don't want nobody to have to face this destruction. And man, that ought to be the desire of every child of God in the house of God this morning. I'm beloved that we would be praying and asking God. I'm beloved that He'd save our lost family members. We would go to them and say, hey, I'm just as this lady did in the end and said, hey, if you get under this scarlet letter or this scarlet thread, I'm beloved you can be saved. You'll escape the destruction. You'll escape the judgment of God. I'm this woman. I'm beloved. Had a desire for her family and her friends to be saved. Think of the people that you come in contact with every day. Just dying and going to hell. Them you work with. You say, well, I don't want them to be offended. I don't want them to think I'm a fanatic. So you'd rather them die and go to hell? I don't want to. Everybody's on such a defense of who they are today. I don't want to cause nobody to feel uncomfortable. So you'd rather them die and go to hell? She said, I just don't want deliverance. I want everybody that's in my family to be delivered. When's the last time you prayed for your family members that's lost? I'll be honest with you, we're so selfish in our prayers today about our own lives that we can't pray for nobody else. Pray God give you a vision of your children and your grandchildren and your friends and your neighbors and your family members. Pray God would give you a vision of that coming destruction that they're going to face. For the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. Because understand this, if they don't get under the scarlet line, they'll die and go to hell. But this woman said, please have mercy on us. Please remember us. Please notice what she said. I pray you swear unto me. I've showed you kindness, that you will show kindness into my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive. Now understand, this salvation was not in these men, and salvation is not in man today. Salvation's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation's not in the church, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation's not in baptism, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to listen to me, salvation's not in your prayer. You have more faith in your prayer than the one you prayed to, then you're not saved. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, we need to be saved. My family needs to be saved. There was a deliverance desired. Notice in verse number 18, there's a deliverance offered. She said, behold, when we come into the land, they said, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou did let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Notice what it said. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee, notice that, whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon your head, if any hand be upon him. That whosoever, see, it's a whosoever will gospel. So whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're not Calvinists by one stretch, form, or imagination. We do not believe that God predestined some to go to heaven and God predestined some to go to hell. I'm beloved, it's a whosoever will gospel. The Bible says that God's not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come into repentance, red, yellow, black, and white. And they're all precious in His sight. Understand, He's made of one blood all nations, and it's a whosoever will gospel, that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means whoever calls on the name of the Lord. If our politicians called upon the name of the Lord, they'd be saved. And there's a whole lot of them needs to get saved. If our family members, our co-workers, it's a whosoever. And they said, whosoever is put their trust in this scarlet line, whosoever has done that, they'll be saved. But whosoever steps out of that house is going to face destruction. See, God's no respecter of persons. See, Jesus Christ died for all. As I said, He's, according to the book of Acts, He's made of one blood all nations. No matter what nation, where their origination is from, the gospel is to save them all. And it's the same gospel, it's the same message. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. He said, of all of them. He said, I'm the chiefest. He said, but Christ came to save all sinners. That's why we take up an offering on Sunday night, and our mission budget's about, what, $1,400 a month, something like that. $1,400 a month. That's why we pay $250 a month to put it on the radio. That's why we have Facebook Live. That's why we send 2,000 tracks every couple of months to Honduras. Why? Because everybody needs to get saved. Y'all didn't discard them, and we shouldn't either. It's a whosoever. There was a deliverance offered. He's not willing that any should perish. But notice this, in verse 21, there was a display of faith. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away and departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. This was the message that they told her. They said, if you bind this scarlet line in this window, when the destruction comes, it won't come to your house. You say, preacher, what's the importance of that scarlet line? There's a scarlet line in this Bible right here. It goes from Genesis chapter number 3, where God killed the first animals and made coats of skin. There was a scarlet line of blood. It goes all the way from there to the Abrahamic covenant, there where God, there the cutting covenant in Genesis chapter number 16, where God, Abraham sacrificed all of them animals there, and him and God walked back and forth between those sacrifices. It goes there all the way from there to Exodus, there where they took the blood at the Passover and they laid it, placed it upon the doorpost and the lintel, and then it goes all the way through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it goes all the way through into the book of Revelations, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they shouted, worthy is he who's the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. I'm beloved, understand, the only way anybody's going to escape from the destruction that's coming, I'm beloved, is they get under the scarlet line of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm beloved, God deals in blood. Yes, it's a bloody gospel. Yes, it's a bloody religion. But the life of the flesh is in the blood, and God said, I've given you upon the altar as a token. She said, what token will you give me? She said, they said, you bind this scarlet line out that window. And may I say unto you today, the only way our friends and our families or ourselves will ever escape the judgment of God is to get through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, preacher, I lived a good life. Therefore, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not by who we are. It's not by what we've done. It's because of what He's done for us. And they said, you get under that scarlet line and you'll be saved. You say, well, what about my children and my grandchildren and my brothers and my sisters? If they're not saved, they'll face destruction. But everybody that places their faith in that scarlet line will be saved. It's a whosoever will. But her faith was displayed. You understand today, there was a time in my life, and if you've been saved, there was a time in your life where you had to place your faith in what the Word of God said and in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins, and that He would forgive you of your sins, and if you trusted Him as your Savior, that He would save you. Not in your prayer, but in Him. She began to place her faith in that scarlet line. There was a display of it. She said, and according to your words, be it unto you. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And Brother Green, I believe this. I don't believe she waited till the next day. I mean, as soon as they left, I believe she said, okay, if this, it could be tomorrow, it could be tonight. It may be before they ever get out of this city. I'm beloved, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get saved today. I'm not going to wait till tomorrow. I'm not going to wait for a better time. I'm going to run that scarlet line out that window today because they told me that if I would do that, that I'd be saved.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, I remember this. I said I'd get saved through tribulation. But I didn't know my Bible then.
Right.
And according to that, as I've been quoted one time this morning, over there in 1 Thessalonians, the Bible said, Paul said, he said, they'll be sent a strong delusion if they'll believe a lie.
Right.
Yeah. And then the world believes anything that comes across TV today.
Amen.
It don't matter if it's true or not. It's like I told you in Sunday school this morning. And they said last night that Ukraine overtook, that yesterday or last night on Fox News things, they said that Ukraine had overtook 30 cities that Russia had overtaken, that they took back 30 cities. I don't know whether that's true or not. You can't believe nothing no more. But I do know this. I do know this. I do know that the Lord's coming back.
That's right.
And I do know that I'm going with Him.
Amen.
But going back to what I was saying, I said I'd get saved through the tribulation. I said, well, I'll not take the mark of the beast. Well, the problem is, there again, as I said, I'd already heard the gospel. Okay, so I'd be sent a strong delusion.
Right.
And then just, you realize how stupid that sounds.
Right.
I'm going to make it through the tribulation. Really? When them beast is unleashed, Men seek for death and can't find it.
Right.
When them beasts looks like horses, has the face of a man and scorpion tails and come out stinging out of the bottomless pit and start stinging everybody.
No,
when a third of the sun goes out and a third of the moon goes out, when a third of the waters is turned into blood, I said, well, I'll make it. Do you realize how stupid that sounds? When all you got to do is cry out to the Lord and be saved. When Jesus Christ has made a way. But see, there's people that say, well, we're strong. Remember, these people, look at our nation in the last 2 years of where our nation is and the liberties and the freedoms that have been took from us.
Amen.
Look at where we are. Yes. What was it? What's happened? We trusted in who we was and not Him. We have our motto is in God we trust, but we wasn't trusting in God. We was trusting in the United States of America. That's what the people of Jericho was that day. They had this fortified city. It was the greatest city of that day. You think about it. And God told him, He said, you're going to conquer this thing by walking around it 7 times. 13 times, one time a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day you're going to do it 7 times. But this fortified city, and understand this, it was after the time of harvest, because the Bible said there when they crossed the Jordan River, the river flowed out of its banks because it was harvest time. They said that they found jars when they found the city of Jericho and they excavated that they found jars with grain still inside of it. What was people trusting in? Oh man, we're living in this great city. There's no way that the people's going to be able to get through here. We've got our wealth. We've got our protection. But guess what? When the Lord steps on the scene, everything changes. Remember, it was prophesied of the destruction of Jericho in Deuteronomy. He said, you're going to go in there and utterly destroy everything. And may I say unto you, they can trust in whatever they want to, but if they're not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, they're damned. It's sad to say. But there's no way out. But these people there, they were trusting in everything, and then when destruction came, I'm finishing right here, but notice here this afternoon. There was a confidence displayed in her. The Bible says there in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 7, that by faith Rahab, let me read that to you. Hebrews chapter number 7. Chapter number 11, verse 7. Listen to this. Let me find it. Can't even find it. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. See, she displayed her faith in that scarlet line. How'd Noah get saved? Anybody know? Bible said by faith Noah built the ark. How'd Abraham get saved? Because the Bible said by faith Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Understand, it was by faith that she placed her faith in that scarlet line and she escaped the destruction. There was a deliverance given. Go back to Joshua chapter number 6, verse 25. Look at this morning. And I'm closing. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive in chapter 6, verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Now let me ask you this. What are you trusting to get you through? What are you trusting to get you out of this place? Anybody that could have got in the house,
that's right. Not this
family. Anybody that got in the house would have been saved.
That's right.
But others said, I just don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's real. It's real.
Amen.
And it's true. And if you're trusting in any other thing, anything other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to get you out of here, you've got a false bill of goods. Just as sure as them people marched around the city of Jericho 6 times a day with their mouths shut, and on that 7th day they marched around it 6 more times and they shouted with the shout and they blowed the trumpets, just as sure as the walls fell down and they conquered that city, you can rest assured what that Bible tells us of the coming days is true.
Amen.
And if my family wasn't saved, I'd be saying, every Saturday night, I'd be saying, you go to church with me in the morning.
Amen.
And every morning, I'd be calling out their name before God and say, God, would you convict them?
Amen.
Lord, would you let them see, Lord, their need of a Savior?
Amen.
And when Sunday night rolled around, I'd say, will you go back to church with me Sunday night? If you won't go Sunday morning, go Sunday night. And my friends and my co-workers, I'd say, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Have you ever thought about life after death? What do you think about what's going on in the world today? You know what the rapture is? You ever heard about the rapture? You say, well, they don't nobody want to hear it. 18-year-old wanted to hear it one day, didn't he?
Didn't think he did.
Didn't think he did. Thought it was a fable, didn't he?
Amen.
You don't know Brother Green's testimony, a man at work witnessed to him. He thought he was pulling his leg, that there's a man named Jesus that died for his sins as an 18-year-old boy or young man. But the fact of the matter is, because somebody told him. Somebody had a love for him.
Amen.
And told him that he didn't have to go to that awful place called hell.
Amen.
And he didn't have to face that coming judgment. Told him that Jesus Christ had made a way. He's made a way today.
Amen.
Our challenge to us as a church and our challenge to us as Christians is that God would burden our hearts for our lost family members as Rahab's was. Help us to see the expedient time that it is. And if you're here this morning and you're lost and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be like myself and be stupid and say, well, I'll wait till then, I'll wait till then, I'll wait till then. Just as soon as, the Bible says, just as soon as they left, she throwed that scarlet line out that window. I wouldn't wait till I got home. I always said, Lord, I'll wait till I get home. I'll wait to do this, I'll wait to do that. I wouldn't wait. I'd get saved now. The whole now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. I don't know your heart this morning. Maybe you need to come. I want Miss Evelyn to come to the piano. Let me step behind this thing so it quits ringing. Thank you.